the end zone. Smith has Whittingham. Touchdown, Bears. We've waited for the star receiver to make a play, and he made the biggest one of the night. Oates ball. He's going to throw it. Going to come up short. It's going to be intercepted by Central Arkansas, and that will do it. The Central Arkansas Bears have beaten Austin Peay 24-17.
Matt, I'll tell you what, man. You couldn't ask for a better college football game to start out the season. Appreciate you making some time for us here on the Morning Rush.
Yeah, you know, guys, pleasure to be with you this morning. And you know, I started the broadcast up the other night saying for the past 5 months we were just, will they, won't they, how will they? And then you finally get to the point where we were playing college football. And, you know, one of the big storylines coming in was Austin Peay, Central Arkansas, get the national audience all to themselves, and they didn't disappoint. And it was just so good to see that sport back on the field on a Saturday night and then to have that final-minute drama. What a great way. I'm hoping that is a sign of things to come this fall.
Matt, one of the reasons we wanted to get you on this morning is the perspective of you calling the game back in Bristol. Now, to start out, were you, Mike, and Lauren all in the same room, or were y'all calling it from different places?
All right, so Lauren Sisler, the reporter, she was in Montgomery.
Okay.
So she was at the game, and Golic Jr. and I were in the same studio in Bristol. So kind of the protocol this year at ESPN, we're going to travel, I think, about three or four crews, ABC Prime, ESPN Prime, throughout the season. And then in other instances, most of the play-by-play and analysts will be from a studio either in Charlotte, Bristol, or in some cases maybe even at their house. And then the reporters regionally situated to where if you can drive like Lauren Sisler could from her location in Birmingham, Alabama to Montgomery, Alabama. So we were two different area codes and two different zip codes, but she did a great job, and it ended up working out, you know, with the technology that we were able to do and pull off the first broadcast of the season.
So, Matt, from your and Mike's perspective, what was that like to call a game remotely, and how do you think it compared to if you guys would have actually been in Montgomery, Alabama?
Yeah, it's different. Last couple of seasons have called our midweek MAC games, and I've always been at the stadium. Obviously, any game up until this point that either myself or Mike Golic Jr. has called, we've been on site. And from that perspective, there's nothing like the energy that you get walking the field before the game, hearing the players, hearing the coaches, seeing the fans that are out, and the tailgating, the smells, everything that has to do with college football. But when you're not there, I mean, there are certainly challenges to that. Now, our crew did a great job because I made it clear throughout the week during our production calls. I was like, when I want pregame everything. I want any noise that's coming in from the stadium pumped into my ears. I want to, as much as I can, feel like I'm there. We had the opportunity to have several monitors in our studio. So we had a programming monitor, an all 22 monitor, cutaway monitor. So we had a lot of cameras fixed in different locations to where we were able to, as much as we could, mimic the press box atmosphere that we are typically used to. And look, at the end of the day, no one's going to sit here and tell you not being at the game isn't more exciting. But based on the circumstances that we're in right now with COVID, just to be able to kick one off and get a broadcast on air cleanly, I think is a victory for everybody.
Matt, do you think the fact that this game, you know, took place, actually got kicked off and completed without any major issues, you think it's going to make the general fan base and population of college football more hopeful that September 26th rolls around and the Power Five will actually get underway, the ones that are scheduled to play?
Yeah, that's a good question, because going in, you can always have these protocols. Now, we saw with Austin Peay, their best receiver, D'Angelo Wilson, didn't make the bus trip. We don't know for certain that it's COVID-related, but if we're putting two and two together, I don't think it's too hard to figure that out. I think the issue now is going to be, we need, and I'll do it this week, just out of curiosity and just to stay up on it, but I'm going to follow up with both of these programs now going into this week. It's you can prepare for this. If you're a program, you can prepare for week one and the testing protocols, but now it's the follow-up. Did anybody get it playing on Saturday? Did anybody get it traveling back? You're back on campus after your game. Did anybody test positive? So to answer your question in one part, yes. I think it showed that we can play football. Now the question is going to have to be for the rest of the year, can we continue to play football individually as a team week in and week out?
Yeah. Anything you saw on Saturday in the game itself, leading up to the game, and you were probably privy to a little more of the protocols and the rules kind of that went, you know, before the game to get these teams ready that, you know, that maybe need to be changed or tightened up or some adjustments made as we move closer to the end of the month and of September and hopefully more teams being on the schedule?
Well, here's what I'll tell you, and this needs to be a message to every football player and team out there. You know, I'll use D'Angelo Wilson as an example, and let's just assume that it was a COVID-related thing. I know that they didn't have – I think they had two positive tests, but they were two guys that weren't on the travel roster. This is a memo to any player out there that is doing the right thing within the walls of the locker room. If you come in contact with anybody – to test positive for COVID, even though you don't have it, you can't travel or play. And so I think it's for these players, it's really good to surround yourself with those inside your program to not allow just contact tracing to keep you out of a game. But I think each of these schools and college football in general did a great job because, if you know, we were talking to these coaches before on Wednesday night. They said, guys, we don't even know who's going to be on the bus yet. We got to wait for the results. Because they were tested Wednesday morning. They get the results on Thursday. They load the buses on Friday. And so from that end of it, you just don't know. A coach, your defensive coordinator can test positive, then he can't go. And so from the 72-hour rule, I think they did a fantastic job. Sideline, it's human nature with how they've always grown playing football. We had a couple of cutaways of Jeremiah Oatesfall. He would always pull up his mask. I know the coaches were getting a little annoyed with the mask, trying to communicate into their players. But it's just a new normal. The things that we're all going to have to deal with, from calling a game from studio, wearing masks if you're the official, trying to social distance. But I would say this about social distancing during the game. Anybody who's on the sideline has already tested negative. That's why they're there. And so if there's any looky-loos that are trying to say, well, they're not social distancing on the sideline, well, guess what? They've already tested negative. So they're allowed to be there. And overall, I'd give both programs an A-plus for how they handled, really, that to be the guinea pig for college football going into the season.
Matt Barry of ESPN with us here on The Morning Rush. Matt, you mentioned the potential of a coach testing positive or something like that occurring. For Arkansas, you have a former head coach on the staff in Barry Odom. I know in Alabama, Nick Saban has Steve Sarkisian, former coach of USC. There are some coaches and programs across the country that have secondary head coaches or former head coaches on the staffs. What do you think about the possibility of that occurring this season, or do you think that's going to happen where a head coach may test positive and a secondary coach has to step up for a few weeks?
Yeah, I think you'll see it. I mean, I don't know where, but I think you'll see at some point a major coordinator or someone, just by virtue of having a family or a kid going to school or whatever, I think you're going to see it. And it's just a rule of thumb with math. I mean, statistically, it's probably going to happen. And these teams are putting in these type of protocols with coaching staff. Like, I know the meeting we had with the Austin Peay coaches, they were very well aware that their assistant defensive coordinator and defensive backs coach, Coach Bowman, was ready to call a game if the defensive coordinator test came back positive. So when I say that, and you guys know this as well as anyone, coaches are so habitual about their week and how they go about it. They're almost maniacal with their preparation. They now have to add in COVID protocol with their team and then think about COVID protocol if starting quarterback is out, if offensive coordinator is out, if special teams coach is out. This is going to be unlike anything we've ever seen. There will be a moment this season, God willing, we're in November and it's going off without a hitch. There's going to be a major storyline with this. Someone's going to test positive, or there's going to be contact tracing that we see a major player like D'Angelo Wilson not play. It's not a matter of if, it's just when. And I think it'll be good for the sport to show that you can execute an entire season while still adhering to the safety protocols that we need to have the season go off.
Matt, I know you're probably disappointed to see Arizona State in the Pac-12 not play this season as an Arizona State alum. And it seems like the reports coming out over the weekend, the Big Ten is kind of backtracking on their initial statement that they weren't going to play college football in 2020. There might be a new start date in around Thanksgiving. Just kind of what did you, and I know you're busy with play-by-play and calling the game in Montgomery, but kind of what did you make, Matt, of the different reports that came out on the Big Ten over the weekend concerning college football?
Well, I think the Big Ten was just trying to quiet the noise. There's been so much noise about Kevin Warren and the decision the Big Ten made early, August 11th, same for the Pac-12. I don't know that there was no reason to make a decision on August 11th. You had time to let it play out. And what I legitimately think was happening there, you've had such an outcry from parents, players, lawsuits. You were, 36 hours from kicking off the first game. And I believe that the Big Ten and Pac-12 made this decision because they genuinely didn't believe a season was going to go on. And now you get one game in, you get a full week coming, you've got Labor Day weekend coming, and the pressure's going to start heating up. Like, we're going. We're going to play football, and there's going to be a lot of, see, I told you so. So I think if the Big Ten comes out and says, well, maybe Thanksgiving, then they're probably hoping their fan base, quiets down a little bit with the excitement that this could happen by Thanksgiving. Yeah. But that's only because we got close to kickoff. I don't know how legitimately possible it is for them to go through with this, but it was them showing, them being the Big Ten, that, maybe we'll throw a date out to calm everybody down a little bit because it's clear that football's coming.
Let me get the cart in front of the horse. If the Big Ten does get a season underway, and let's say it's Thanksgiving or in the month of December, and let's say the SEC and the ACC and the Big 12 go forward as planned and they complete their season, what kind of mess does this make of the college football playoff?
Well, Ohio State, we know, is ranked number 2 in the country. They're loaded. I think at that point, guys, they would have to blow the doors off a couple of opponents. And, it's a great question because I don't even know how long is the Big Ten thinking for there's going to be a season. I mean, playoff, we've already got the date set for that. The playoff committee's not going to wait. I think Ohio State, no matter what, cost themselves in a playoff appearance because they didn't cooperate with three other Power Five. And I don't think that the college football as we know it is going to hold on and wait for one league because they decided to jump the gun and not get into football on time. And look, for the fan bases and financially, it's going to be a good thing. But either way, I think Big Ten cost themselves a spot in the playoffs.
Matt Barry of ESPN does SportsCenter, does studio work for ESPN College Football, and calls games. He's the do-it-all for the guys out in Bristol. Matt, we really appreciate your time this morning, and thanks for calling a heck of a game and really a great start to college football season on Saturday.
And a great finish, too.
Yeah, awesome stuff, guys. I really appreciate your time this morning. And let's just hope, again, that was a sign of things to come for a healthy and full college football season.
Yeah, in agreement there. 100%. Thanks, Matt.
Thanks, gentlemen.